amazing God. And no matter what we go through in life, God remains the same. Amen. His love for us never changes, never gives up, never runs out on His people. That's the God we serve. So we don't go by what we feel, we go by what we know through Jesus Christ. Amen. How many know that when you go by feelings, you're one day up, the next day down, and a few days after that, even lower than that. But when you go on the Word of God and you get encouraged in God, you know that you can always rise up from every and any situation. That's how beautiful and wonderful Jesus is to us. And so I just want to encourage us this morning that as we are here today and as we are sitting under the Word of God this morning, that your ears will be open, your heart will be ready to receive what God has for us. Because I really believe that God is raising up a generation of people who need to be strong in God and mighty in God, men and women working together, serving together, coming together and saying, yeah, come on now, we can do this together. We can put our hands to the plow. We can push forward. We can see the kingdom of God being established in this place. We're not going to turn back or look back or look at what happened in the past, but we're going to look at what's going to come up in the future. Because, you know, God is a God of the future, not just the past, but He's a God who's on the move. Amen? And so when we are in gear with God, when we get into the right realm with God, the right path with God, the right journey with God, then we know that God is always moving us into new pastures, into new things. And how many know that when you go into something new, it's never easy. It's something difficult. It's something different. And we always got to say, God, I need you. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your strength to face the challenges that come. Every time I take a step of faith, every time I want to get on that journey with you, how many know the challenges come? And so the challenges are good. Why? Because it stretches us. It causes us to mature in God. It causes us to search the deep things of God and say, God, what are you teaching me? What am I seeing? Where do you want me to go? What do I need to do? And so challenges are good. It's not nice when you're facing it at that time. But it is good. And so, church, I just want to encourage you this morning that God's got a mandate for us. He's got something for us in this house that we just got to keep pushing in. We just got to keep moving on with the things God has called us to do. And so, just be encouraged that God's plans and purposes will come to pass. Amen. And sometimes that takes time. And takes a lot of effort. Takes a lot of motivation. Takes a lot of doing. But you know what? God is never late. He's always on time. And so it's up to us to say, Lord, whatever the timing is, I am willing. As I said last Sunday, you know, David, he was anointed king when he was 14 or 15 years of age. And he only became king 20 years later. And that's a long time to wait, isn't it? When you know that you have been anointed king at the age of 14 or 15. And then to wait all those years till finally became the king of Israel. So there is a waiting period in us. And so I'm just going to continue on the same theme that I had last Sunday. I just want to encourage you in that word. How many are blessed so far? Isn't our worship team great? I think they do an awesome job. You know, excellent praise and worship unto our God. And God loves excellence. How many know that? I don't think He likes slippy, sloppy, you know, wishy-washy stuff. He wants excellence in everything we do. And that's an excellent team. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, there was a church that wanted a pastor. And so they asked someone to come over, and they were just sussing him out, you know, like they do. And they listened to him preach, and he preached for 10 minutes. I thought, oh, wow, that's good. You know, and they said, yeah, no, we'll hire you. You know, you're good. 10 minutes, that's great. And the next time he preached, he went on for 30 minutes. And they thought, that's okay. Then the third time he preached, he went on for 2 hours. And I said, I'm not going to go on for 2 hours. Don't worry. And so the deacons and the elders were a bit concerned. They thought, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, 2 hours. And so they called him and they asked him. He said, you know, can you explain why you went for 10 minutes, 30 minutes, and then 2 hours? He says, oh, no, you know, I wear dentures. And so you know, my dentures were hurting for the first time I spoke. So, you know, that's as I just spoke for a short time. And then, you know, the second time, he said, yeah, it was, it's not too bad, you know, but I went off for about 30 minutes. It started paining again. So, oh, okay, we understand. I said, what happened the last time? He says, well, you know, that morning I got up and I accidentally put on my wife's dentures and I couldn't stop talking. Sorry, no, women, don't get upset, yeah? Okay, it's just right, okay. Being strong men and women in God is what I'm talking about. Father, this morning we want to thank you and praise you that, Lord, your word is exciting. And Lord, it lifts us up. And Lord, we thank you for your word is life, it is truth. This morning we want to feast at your table. And Lord, we sang the song, oh, come to the altar. Lord, we are at the altar right now. And Father, I pray, Lord, as we open our hearts, our ears, our understanding, that we'll be open to you, receive your word this morning. Lord, that you'll give each and every one of us something that we could take today and apply it in this coming week. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I spoke from 1 Chronicles chapter 12 last Sunday. I'm not going to continue on that theme. So if you turn into your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and just keep it there for a moment, then we will look into some scripture as well. And the last week I touched on 2 points, and the first point was that I said that the men that David had, the warriors, the mighty men that David had, they were skilled in all warfare. You see that in verse 2. And I said that God has given us weapons for us to use. Amen. Yeah. God has put in our hands, at our disposal, weapons that are powerful. How do I know that? Because if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 to 6, it tells us this, that the weapons that God has given us are not human. They're not human ones. But what God has given us are weapons that have the power to destroy. Hallelujah. I like that. The weapons we have the power to destroy the enemy's strong places in our lives. And it also the ability to destroy arguments and warped philosophies and ideologies that come from man. God has given us the power to overcome these things, to destroy these holes. How many know that there are strongholds in people's lives today? The enemy builds himself a stronghold. What's a stronghold? It's a place where, you know, people come together and it's a place where in a sense there is safety, but if it's the wrong stronghold that you are in, then it drags you down. And so the enemy brings in certain situations into our lives that causes it to be a stronghold. In other words, a habit, or it could be, you know, some other problem or situation that exceeds that which God is able to do in us. If the problem becomes bigger than God, then that becomes a stronghold as well in our lives. And often we find this happening. And so God says in his word that he has given us weapons that's able to destroy all of these things. Amen? So when you feel that you are tied up and you feel as if, you know, the enemy is trying to hold you in, you can come out of it and say, in the name of Jesus, I have a weapon that's praise. I have a weapon that's prayer. I have a weapon that is the word of God. I can speak it and I can believe it and trust it, and I know that God will bring me out. Amen? And so the second point that I mentioned was that these men who came to David as warriors, they were mentally tough. They were mentally tough and they were determined to make David their king. That's why they came together. You see that in that scripture in verse 2. That's the whole reason. In other words, in today's world, they were like the Marines. They were like the elite forces. And if you study the life of a Marine, it's a highly disciplined life. And they go through extreme conditions. in order to put their body into shape and be able to come out on the other side, because their aim is whatever I go through, whatever I face in battle or situation that I face, I need to be in a place where I will not give up. That's a Marine. They don't give up in the face of a fight. They actually take themselves to the fight. And that's what God has put in us. He's made us Marines and the elite forces on this earth. You and I are Marines and elite forces on this earth. Why? Because we are able to take the fight to the enemy. Are the others, non-believers, unable to do that? They succumb to the powers of the enemy. But you and I, who have weapons of mass destruction, in the sense that weapons that can destroy the enemy tactics and enemy influences in people's lives, we have to use those weapons wisely in the right place so that we can bring the right solution. Because people are looking for solutions today. And you and I, we have the answer. It's not just with me. You have the answer to people's solutions today. And they're looking for an answer today. God is able in us. Because he says in Luke 21:15 that God will give us words of wisdom that no adversary will be able to resist or contradict. God is able to give us words of wisdom. Hallelujah. So we don't depend on our own strength, but we depend on Jesus. The Holy Spirit of God will always enable us. Amen? And the most common place the enemy attacks us is in the mind. That's the most common place, the easiest place to get somebody down to a place of getting upset, misunderstandings come about as a result of that. As well, and people disengage because of that. It's because somehow the enemy gets to your mind. And that's what the scripture says in Romans 12:2. It says, don't change yourselves to be like people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. It says, then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to him, and what is perfect. Many people today struggle with depression. How many know that? Depression is on the rise today. Many struggle with mental problems, with mental issues. Why? I just believe the enemy attacks the mind. And the moment the enemy attacks your mind, what happens? The mind instructs your body. Everything starts with a thought. And so when the enemy attacks your mind, it feeds into your body. And then your body reacts to what's in your mind. And so that's why the Bible is so clear. It's calling us to feed on the things of God. It's to transform our thinking. It's to transform our mind. Why? Because it happens right there in the mind. And today we know that as Christians, you and I, we need to feed on God's word. No matter what the situation is, we have to feed ourselves on the word of God. If we feed ourselves on Sky TV, that won't help. If we feed ourselves on reading the newspapers, that'll drag us even further down. How many know that? The news that people have in the newspapers is always negative. It always drags you down. But so many people read the Sunday Times. They spend hours reading it. And they never get into the Word of God, which encourages you and builds your life up. Amen. And so we can engage ourselves in various things and activities and reading. But the Word of God will always, no matter what situation we are in, is able to bring a word to us that when we read God's word, the Holy Spirit activates a word into our spirit. And that's called the Rhema word. It's an activated word. It's a word it's not just a word that's written here, which is the Logos, but it's a word that is quickened. It's activated in our spirit. And that happens when we need to do something about what we have been reading in the Word of God. And so suddenly, when you read, you will find out, wow, this scripture has come alive in me. How many have experienced that? This scripture has come alive in me. You know, I know, I believe this scripture. Now I'm able to apply it in my into everyday living. So we need to always remind ourselves of God's word and let our mind feed on things that are true and that are holy. You know the other thing we need to do? We need to surround ourselves with people who believe the word of God to be true, with strong believers, with men and women who will encourage you and say, come on, you can make it. Come on, we can make it together. You don't have to be sad or disheartened. You can make it with God. We need people like that. And we need to surround ourselves with people who are able to sharpen us and give us wise counsel. The third point that I was trying to make last week, which I couldn't make, was this. These men who came to David, they were dedicated to serving God. They were dedicated to serving David. And the key thing was this. They were in unity. 1 Chronicles 12:38 reads this. All these soldiers came to David at Hebron, ready to fight if necessary. They were both united, say united, and determined. United and determined to make David king over all Israel. Hallelujah. You know, victory comes with unity. Victory comes with unity. That's why Psalm 133, David talks about unity. He says, when brothers and sisters get along, that's unity. When brothers and sisters get along, God commands blessing and life eternal. God commands it. Hallelujah. That's why unity is so important in the body of Christ. What does unity do? It exists when we acknowledge the need for godly order in people's and people's gifting. When we acknowledge the need for godly order and when we acknowledge people's gifting in our lives, unity comes. This is where God loves to pour out his abundant blessing. When the church become one in Christ Jesus. When we are a church in unity, that means when our brothers and sisters get along together. That's unity. See, sadly today there is so much division in churches. We hear of churches splitting, churches, you know, getting dragged through the mud. And you know what? The enemy is very clever at bringing division. And you know how he does it? By misunderstanding and by offense. That's how he does it. Where he makes a small misunderstanding. It could be the pastor didn't talk to me today. It could be as trivial as that. It's true. It could be as small as that. Oh, he ignored me today. And you know, the enemy amplifies that. He puts it through a microphone coming through the speakers. And he says, did you see that? You were not acknowledged today. Nobody spoke to you today. Nobody said hello to you today. And he amplifies that. And then what happens? Through that misunderstanding, you think, oh, yeah, nobody spoke to me today. The pastor ignored me today. He had no time for me. And you begin to feed on that. And, oh, yeah, okay, I'm not going there anymore. But that's how cunningly the enemy brings this in. And sadly, many churches have divided. And Christians have fallen apart because of this whole issue through gossip, through slander, through malicious words. division, disunity in the body of Christ, which is very, very sad. You know, when Roman soldiers, when they locked their shields together, you know what it looked like? A wall of shields. You couldn't decipher one shield from the other. It was like one huge wall when they locked their shields together. And you know what that helped, how that helped them? When the arrows were slung across into their territory, when they locked their shields together, the arrows wouldn't penetrate and they were all safe. But if one person decided to, you know, put their heads out and say, oh, I'm not doing this, I'm not falling in rank here, you know, what would happen? He gets shot down very quickly. And sometimes that happens in the church. When we want unity and one is the right, this is how we are going, let's lock shields together. Sometimes we have, somebody says, well, actually, no, you know, I don't see it that way. And so what happens? They get shot down, which is very sad. And that happens in the church, which is even sadder. So God expects us as believers to lock our shields of faith, that we can stand together. We can stand shoulder to shoulder with one another. And you know what? We are fighting one enemy. That's all. We always say this when we teach on our marriage course. And those of you who've been on our marriage course will know this. We always say this. The enemy is not your spouse. I was waiting for a better response. Who's been on a marriage course? The enemy is not your
spouse.
Right. You and I, brothers and sisters, we are not the enemy. Your brother, your sister is not the enemy. The devil would like you to think that. And so through misunderstanding again, he brings discord and disharmony. We have one enemy, and his name is Satan. He's a deceiver and the father of lies. Where do we read that? John 8:44, that scripture will come up. John 8:44 tells us that he's the father of lies. And then Revelation 12. Oh, the scriptures, they're coming, are they? And Revelation 12 and verse 9 talks about the dragon. And that one day he will be overcome. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. There is only one enemy, and that is the devil, not your fellow brother or sister. Oh, no scriptures today. Okay. But there are the two scriptures, Revelation 12, 9 and John 8, 44. So this is why when we don't understand who our enemy is, and when we're not fighting against one common enemy, what happens is war breaks out. Divisions come and people fight one another. Very sad to see the world around us, people killing one another. Even people of their own culture killing one another. Their own religion killing one another. And that's so sad to see. So we have to wise up. Church, we have to wise up. And we have to know the tactics of the enemy. See, the moment he brings a thought that is negative, that is against somebody else, you've got to arrest that thought straight away. And that's something you have to practice. You have to arrest it straight away. Because the moment you mull over it and you allow it to settle, give it even a 10% chance, it starts to seep in. Let's wise up to the tactics of the enemy and not get sucked into his plan to divide and conquer. Because the enemy is very clever at breaking up the body of Christ. He wants to do it, and he's doing it through other groups as well. The church today is under attack. Christians are under attack today. You never would have thought that in this nation. Yeah? Am I with you?
Yeah.
You would have never thought that Christians in this nation would be under a threat. But that's happening. However, we have a greater God. Amen? We have a greater God. And that's why I'm talking about being strong and mighty, men and women of God. Because we got to discern the times, and we have the weapons at our disposal. And we are able to counteract every stronghold of the enemy. That's the power of God in you and me. Tell your neighbor, you are a powerful weapon. You are an elite force. You're a specialist force. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us to pray for one another. Where do we see that? To pray for one another. James 5 and verse 16 tells us that. The Bible also tells us to defend one another, strengthen, encourage one another. Where do we see that? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11 says to encourage and build each other. Encourage and build one another. Let's remember that when we meet together, let's encourage and build one another. We also, the Bible talks about sharpening one another. You know, as steel sharpens steel. It says in the message, as iron in the other tribe, as iron sharpens iron, so we need sharpening. We all need correction, don't we? We do. We don't know it all. I too. I need correction. I don't know it all. By God's grace, God gives me the grace for some things. But if I'm not open to correction, then God help me. Because the Holy Spirit always speaks, and sometimes He speaks through someone else. And so I've got to have the heart to be able to listen and say, is the Holy Spirit really speaking to me through this person? Can I take something from him? And sometimes that word of encouragement can be a harsh word. How many know that? Because you cannot put an army together being a bit soft and sweet. When you join the army, I haven't been in the army, but I was a cadet at school. And so when you're a cadet at school, you are put under you're put on some strain, and you're asked to stand in line, in file, in rank. You know, so you stand there and they say, attention! And you don't move. And then they say, at ease! And so everybody does the same thing. And there's discipline. And so sometimes, you know, if I stood there and said, attention, kick me out of the cadet corps. And I think that's the same thing as believers. That sometimes when we sharpen one another, it always cannot be very sweet. And sometimes it has to be a sharp word, because that sharp word enables us to bring us back to a place where, you know, sometimes we've got to knock off those airy-fairy, you know, floating. Kind of saying, hey, come on, let's get the groundwork first. Let's get the basics. Now, how many know if the basics are not right, then whatever you build up here will just crumble. The basics, the foundation, has to be right. There are many Christians today, sadly, that they go on just the feelings, and they want this euphoric kind of feel. And you say, no, not really. You need to be grounded, rooted in God's word. You need to be sound in the word of God. Then, and when you're up here, you'll know your roots are strong and they're grounded properly. And so, sometimes we need to give a word. Proverbs 27 and verse 17 talks about that. Then also we are called, since we read in Galatians 6 and verse 2, to bear one another's burdens. Ah, really? I don't want to bear the other. Oh, I have enough burdens of my own. What does the Bible say? Cast all your cares or your burdens on Jesus. Why? Because He cares for you. Now, when you bear another's burden, it doesn't mean, you know, just going and sympathizing with somebody. That doesn't help. It's understanding where they're at and say, okay, now, come on now. You know, we can do this together. Let me encourage you. You know, let me give you some practical help as well. If need be, give from practical help as well. But let me encourage you in the Word of God. Pray and strengthen God's people and say, come on, I'm going to, you know, that burden that they're going through, I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to tarry with you. I'm going to warfare with you. And so when we carry one another's burdens, it's not to take, I don't take my burden, I dump it on Bob and I say, right, here you are, you take over my burden. That's called the monkey business, you know, monkeying. Where, you know, you take your monkey that you're carrying, you know, your burden, and then you go to the other person and you talk to the person about that burden and you put your monkey onto the other person's back. And now they're carrying your burden, not you. You just shoved it over. That doesn't mean carrying your burdens here. You don't just shove your burdens on somebody else, because the Bible doesn't say that. It says give your burdens to Jesus. But we are here to encourage, strengthen, and edify one another. And so as we carry one another's burdens, understanding what they're going through, let's encourage, edify, and build one another up. We are called to love each other. And there are so many scriptures on that, but I just chose two. Hebrews 13 and verse 1 talks about that. And 1 Peter 4 and verse 8. And in love, confront one another when needed, when necessary. See, we need each other in the battlefront. How many know that when you go into battle, the bigger the army, the stronger you are? They look at you and you think, wow, man, that's a big army. How do we take that on? We need each other. The scripture that says one puts 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. You work out the maths in that. It doesn't make sense, does it? 1,000, 2? Not 2,000. It says 10,000 to flight. So the power of 2 is amazing. It's exponentially more powerful. And I think that tells us something. That when we come together and when we pray together and when we fight together, there is exponential power that's been exploded in that arena, in that scenario, in that time of coming together, that destroys strongholds, that tears down altars that have been built to false gods. That's why we call the church to pray. That's why we call the church to come. Let's lock our shields together. Let's cry out for our nation. Let's cry out for our community. Let's call upon the Lord for our church. We need each other. We need each other's support in this battle. We also need someone to be accountable to. As you know, I'm accountable not only to my own leaders in the church, I'm accountable to every person who is here. Why is that? Because I am a steward of what God's given me. I don't lord it over anyone. I pray that I'll never ever do that. But I come to you as a servant, as somebody who is willing to lay down my life, as somebody is willing to do what it takes to build the kingdom of God. And oftentimes that ain't easy. But that's what Jesus has mandated me to do, to be a servant. In our leadership team, our motto is servant leadership. We practice our leadership through being servants. And that's why it doesn't matter what I do in the church. It could be putting out the chairs. It could be using the Hoover. It doesn't really matter. It could be getting involved in hospitality at the back. It could be washing up the dishes afterwards. Where was I? I was recently in a place. We were on the we were on a course with Married for Life in Beckensfield, and I don't mind washing cups, saucers, and all that. So after the tea break, I just went to the kitchen. I was washing up, and then one of my brothers, he came and said, "Pastor, what are you doing washing up? You shouldn't be washing up." I said, "Why? What's wrong? You know, I like to wash up. It's okay." And so it doesn't matter really. If it's the toilets that need to be washed, I'm happy to do that as well. And so it's about serving God wherever God's positioned you and placed you. Why? Because it's not man who elevates you, it's God. Amen? I don't look to man's elevation. I look to God, because He's the one who promotes you. I always say this, I work for my company, and I thank God for that because they pay me well. And I thank God for the job I do. But I always believe this, God is the one who brings the multiplication. Amen. And he's doing that through a source. But if I just chucked up God and only looked to my source, I can tell you, I'll soon be in a place where I'll be distraught, there'll be no joy in my life, there'll be no peace in my home. You know, there'll be numerous problems hitting my household. Why? Because I've taken the focus off the source, who is God. And I put my attention on mammon. Or in other words, money. And so, I can say this as well today. The reason that why we are blessed, as a family we are blessed, and I thank God for that, is because our focus has been the kingdom of God, always. That's why I like that scripture and Sean and Shane spoke on. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And I tell you, from our experience, you can ask our children, you can ask our foster children as well. You can ask them how we lead our lives, what we do. They can see blessing in our home. Why? Because the kingdom of God always comes first. Amen? I can tell you that from our own experience. It's not just something that we conjure up. It is true. We need each other. We need someone to be accountable to. Where was I going with that? I'm accountable not only to this house, but also I have a supervisor above me. And that's Pastor Peter Protheroe. Many of you know him. And so I regularly, meet with him. And he sharpens me. I can tell you he does. And so we have to be accountable. Not only to God, to God's people, but also I have Barry as well that God's put alongside me to help me in that area. Why? Because we can only mature in our faith when we are connected and when we are accountable to somebody else. We now listen to on Wednesdays, as Bob was talking about Wednesdays, amazing Bible studies, amazing stuff. I mean, I've not heard such stuff before. How many were here last Wednesday? You know, that was absolutely superb. And why am I doing that? Is it because I can't teach from the Word? Yes, I can. I can look up the internet. There's loads of stuff that you can teach on. You know, but what? You know what I want? I want people in this house to get instruction and revelation from men of God who have studied the Word, who have God received something from God that maybe I can't bring it to that the fullest extent, but they can. And so I want the church to be fed properly, and that's why we bring these things for a season. We do that because we want God's people to be blessed, God's people to be taught the Word of God. Why? Because I want us as a church to be strong. We want to be strong men and women. You know, I want an army that's strong, not weak. I want a strong army. And that's why I do what I do. So don't miss a Wednesday. Because, you know, it's changed into something amazing. Fantastic teaching. Encouraging, but challenging at the same time. That's what I like. So in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25, we read this. Paul, he's addressing those who, you know, there's some who, no matter what you do, they're unable to work always with other people. And there are others, there are some who want to go off and do their own thing. So Paul here, that happened in the Corinthian church. You know, some people couldn't work alongside one another. They want to do their own thing. And so he says this in 1 Corinthians 12, that there may be no division. Before this is talking about, you know, can the hand say, you know, I can manage by myself, I don't need the body? Or can the eye say this? Can the other parts of the body say this? So he's coming down all that list. And then he says that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. The same care from one another. That if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Some of you are on the WhatsApp of the church. And so on there we put down, if somebody needs prayer, what do? We put it there and say, right, come on church, let's pray. And so people get blessed when we pray together. That's the whole purpose for that. Why? It's because we need to have the same care for one another. Because we are the body of Christ. Individually, we are members of God's body. And that's why I cannot say to anyone, I don't need you. I am very sad when people decide not to come. It saddens me. Because that's like one part of the body here just, you know, moving out. You feel kind of lopsided a bit. And I think it's very sad. But sometimes, you know, you just got to go on that journey with some people, you know, who don't feel that way. And so you got to give people time for God to just speak into their situation. And it's never easy when you go through situations like that. But you know something, when you're disconnected from the body, imagine this, that if my arm was disconnected from me, I will not be able to do things together with two hands, would I? I won't be able to clap, for example, with two hands. Imagine if a body didn't have a brain, didn't have a blood supply, didn't have a source of nutrition. Imagine this body if it was malnutritioned, how it would look. Imagine a body without an elimination system as well. That's important too. To take out what? All the bad habits and toxins. And we need to be a body that benefit from one another, that encourage one another, that stand with one another. That even though people might go through seasons in their lives where they're facing difficult situations, we can say, we'll keep praying for you. We'll keep believing that God will speak to you. So when you're disconnected, you become incapacitated. You become disabled, unable to accomplish anything that is fruitful and that will last. I always go back to the scripture in the book of Psalms, that those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of their God. In order to grow, you got to be planted. And that's so important. Wherever God plants you, may not be here, it doesn't matter. But wherever it is, get planted. And this is good soil. Here is good soil. We have grown, and that's why I know it's good soil. Our children have grown, I know it's good soil. This is good soil. My encouragement is get planted. Stay dedicated, stay focused, and in unity. I just want to close with this scripture in Ephesians 4, verses 13 to 14. And this is what Ephesians 4, 13 to 14 tells us. This work must continue until we are all joined together in what we believe and in what we know about the Son of God. This work must continue. The work that God has given you and me, no matter how hard it gets, must continue. There's no stopping in God's kingdom. His kingdom always gets established. Wherever we are carriers of the kingdom of God. Our goal, Paul writes here to the Ephesian church, and he says, our goal is to become like a full-grown man. Hallelujah. Not babes in Christ all the time. No, not just always just going, you know, for the next feast and the next feast and then and just moving around, you know, asking for help all the time. No. Our goal is to become like full-grown man. And a full-grown man is a man who is accomplished in every area of their life, to look just like Christ and have all his perfection. Hallelujah. Can we have God's perfection in our lives? Yes, we can through Christ. Jesus, our Lord. Then verse 14, then we will no longer be like babies. Babies are nice, but you wouldn't want your child to have always been a baby. You want them to grow up and mature and put on some muscle and grow up in not only in age, but also in wisdom and stature. We will not be people who are always changing like a ship that the waves carry one way and then the other. We will not be like that. We will not be influenced by every new teaching we hear from people who are trying to deceive us. There are many preachers today who are watering God's word, compromising God's word, preaching a gospel that titillates your ear. You know, it's pleasing to the ear. It doesn't challenge you. It doesn't cause you to think. It doesn't bring conviction into their spirit. That's not the kind of word that Jesus preached. Wherever he spoke, something happened. Amen. When the Pharisees came up against him, he told them off. He didn't say, oh yeah, you're a nice people. He told them exactly who they were. We will not be influenced by every wind of doctrine and teaching. Those who make clever plans and use every kind of trick to fool others into following the wrong way. Church, let's get strong in God. Let's get into the Word of God, because there's so much stuff out there that looks very similar. Very similar to what's in God's Word. But yet, when you read, when you go through it, when you read it, you know there's one word that's changed, that brings a whole new meaning. Very similar. Some preachers do preach, excellent orators, passionate, even charismatic, but their lifestyle doesn't match God's word. Got to look at character. Look at the fruit in people's lives. Don't get caught up just with charismatic people, because there are many who can preach a good preach, but are they walking a walk that's based on the word of God? Be careful. Let's be balanced. Let's be skilled in the word of God. Let's be people with a mentality that's tough. That's tough. That we can bear, you know, weather every storm. We won't give up or give in, but we are strong in God. Let's be determined. Let's be dedicated to do what? To maintain that unity in the body of Jesus Christ. Let's be strong men and women in God. Let's all stand this morning. This morning, as we analyze our own lives, I'm going to read that scripture again in Ephesians 4, because that's such a profound scripture. And it says this work must continue until we are all joined together in what we believe and in what we know about the Son of God. Till the day Jesus comes back, this work must continue. Our goal is to become like a full-grown man, to look just like Christ and have all his perfection. Then we will no longer be like babies. We will not be people who are always changing like a ship that the waves carry one way and then the other. In some versions say not tossed to and fro. We will not be influenced by every new teaching we hear from people who are trying to deceive us. Those who make clever plans and use every kind of trick to fool others into following the wrong way. And God, this morning, Father, as a church, as your body, as people, you've called and set in place in this house. Father, we declare this day that we will no longer be babes. We'll no longer be people who are tossed to and fro like a ship on the waves. But Lord, we will learn to get anchored. We'll learn to be steadfast in the faith. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Lord, we'll be a people with the armor of God always on us. That we will know we'll be able to take the fight to the enemy. We'll be like those elite forces, the Marine Corps in the body of Christ, that don't back away, but we say, come on, bring it on. Because I know who I'm believing. And I'm fully persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him until that day. That no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. And no old tongues that come up against me in judgment, I am able to condemn. And this is the heritage for those who are righteous in God. This is your heritage. This is my heritage. That we can declare that no weapon formed against us can prosper. And every tongue that tries to come up against God's knowledge and argue against everything that goes against God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding, we can tear down. Every altar that has been built to false gods, every stronghold of the enemy, that we don't have to fear the strongholds of the enemy, but that we can, by faith through Jesus Christ, that we can speak into that situation. We can tear down those strongholds. We can tear down those altars, and we can establish the kingdom of God. We might be small in number, but it doesn't matter, because one puts 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000. Yeah. We are easy 30, 40 people. We can put millions to flight. We might be small in stature, but we are mighty and powerful in God. Numbers are not the thing. It's the power of God on the inside of us. You and I are powerful individuals. We contain the awesome power of God in our lives. And together, imagine the exponential pressure, the power that comes out of a united body of Christ. And let's work towards being a united body of Jesus Christ. Because there is one body, and let's unite together under one banner. That banner is the love of Jesus Christ. So God, this morning our hearts are to be a people who are strong in You, and not to waver in our faith when the challenges come. But Lord, we will know where our anchor is. We will stand our ground and speak the word of God. God, I pray this week that as we face various trials and situations in our lives, that we will be reminded of the word of God that You used, Lord, when the enemy tested You and tempted You in the wilderness. We'll be able to say, the word of God tells me this. I believe God's word. I'm not moved by what I see or what I feel. Only the word of God moves me. But God, I thank You that this week the challenges come, the situations come, but the word of God rises above. The power of the Holy Spirit rises in us. Thank You, Father. We worship You this morning. We bless You, Father. I just want to pray for some who this morning, if you're facing a challenge or a struggle in your life today. You know, after preaching like this, you know, it's not done till we deal with a few situations in our lives where we struggle. And I said, we are here for one another. We are here to pray for one another. We are here to encourage one another. When you're going through a difficult situation, I'm going through that as well. And so this morning, if you're going through a trial, a tribulation, a difficult situation, just slip your hand up. Just lift it up, that's all. Just lift it up so people can see it. I want people who are around this People have raised their hands, so just go now, very quickly, just go. Don't have to pray long prayers or anything like that, but just go and say, I have come into agreement with you, and whatever your situation is, I command your situation in the name of Jesus to change. In the name of Jesus, I speak victory into your situation. I speak victory into your situation. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Was bought with the precious blood.